2 Samuel 10. Now it happened afterwards that the king of the Ammonites died, and Hanun, his son, became king in his place. Then David said, I will show kindness to Hanun, the son of Nahash, just as his father showed kindness to me. So David sent some of his servants to console him concerning his father. But when David's servants came to the land of the Ammonites, the princes of the Ammonites said to Hanun their lord, Do you think that David is honoring your father because he has sent consolers to you? Has David not sent his servants to you in order to search the city, to spy it out and overthrow it? So Hanun took David's servants and shaved off half of their beards and cut off their garments in the middle as far as their hips and sent them away. When they told it to David, he sent to meet them, for the men were greatly humiliated. And the king said, Stay at Jericho until your beards grow and then return. Now when the sons of Ammon saw that they had become odious to David, the sons of Ammon sent and hired the Arameans of Beth-Rehob, and the Arameans of Zobah, 20,000 foot soldiers, and the king of Makkah with 1,000 men, and the men of Tob with 12,000 men. When David heard of it, he sent Joab and all the army, the mighty men. And the sons of Ammon came out and drew up in battle array at the entrance of the city, while the Arameans of Zobah and of Rehob and the men of Tob and Makkah were by themselves in the field. Now, when Joab saw that the battle was set against him in front and in the rear, he selected from all the choice men of Israel and arrayed them against the Arameans. But the remainder of the people he placed in the hand of Abishai, his brother, and he arrayed them against the sons of Ammon. And he said, If the Arameans are too strong for me, then you shall help me. But if the sons of Ammon are too strong for you, then I will come to help you. Be strong and let us show ourselves courageous for the sake of our people and for the cities of our God. And may the Lord do what is good in his sight. So Joab and the people who were with him drew near to the battle against the Arameans, and they fled before him. When the sons of Ammon saw that the Arameans fled, they also fled before Abishai and entered the city. Then Joab returned from fighting against the sons of Ammon and came to Jerusalem. When the Arameans saw that they had been defeated by Israel, they gathered themselves together. And Hadadezer sent and brought out the Arameans who were beyond the river, and they came to Helam. And Shobach, the commander of the army of Hadadezer, led them. Now when it was told David, he gathered all Israel together, crossed the Jordan, and came to Helam. And the Arameans arrayed themselves to meet David and fought against him. But the Arameans fled before Israel, and David killed 700 charioteers of the Arameans and 40,000 horsemen, and struck down Shobach, the commander of their army, and he died there. When all the king's servants of Hadadezer saw that they were defeated by Israel, they made peace with Israel and served them. So the Arameans feared to help the sons of Ammon anymore. Amen. So this huge chunk that's leading all the way to chapter 20 is sometimes titled The Exploits of David While He's in Court. So remember, David starts off first in Hebron and then in Jerusalem, and now he's still there. And it just shows what happens during his time. And tomorrow actually starts getting very explosive because we're introduced to Bathsheba, David's great sin. But before that, he goes and he, David is in this reflective mode, just like he was with Saul and Jonathan in the chapter before with Mephibosheth. And now he comes and he says, the son of Nahash. Remember, Nahash is the one that protected David when he was fleeing from Saul. And he found refuge after he left the Philistines. And so he's thinking, my good friend has died, and so I'm going to go console his son. And he goes about doing that, and what happens is he gets bad advice, really bad advice. Turn to Psalm chapter 1. Some of us would be very familiar with this. How blessed is a man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the seat of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff, which the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. So notice that phrase, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. Unfortunately, Hanan had company or had advisors that were not righteous men, obviously. And so the advice that he's given him actually destroys him. And I think this is a really important lesson for us. I remember many times people coming into my office and saying, oh, P. Sam, you know, this is happening, and so on and so forth. And I would just simply say, why are you doing that? And it was, oh, I got this advice. And I was like, who did you get this advice from? And they got their advice from some people at church. But it was horrible, horrible advice. I'll give you one of them. A young woman came into my office a few years ago and said, yeah, I'm really struggling with this. And this is the advice they got actually from our sisters here at church. And I still don't know who they are, but I'm still trying to find out. But in any case, he says, number one is that when you go to a club, make sure that you never pay for your own drinks. That should be your goal of when you go clubbing. You should never pay for your own drinks. The man should always pay for the drinks. I was like, okay, pretty worldly suggestion. But on top of that, you should look for a man who's extremely wealthy, right, to make sure that you could quit your job and that person can take care of you. And I was like, are you serious? I said, are you really getting this advice from sisters at church? And so, you know what my advice to this sister was? Get new friends, right? Because this is not healthy advice. And it's actually very worldly what's happening here in this regard. And it's amazing how the trajectory of your life could change so easily on someone's bad advice. Again, you know, the psalm. How blessed, this is a contrast, this is a blessed man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, right? People that just give bad advice, and bad advice meaning more so worldly advice, things that may seem kind of contemporary. This is how the world does things, but we're not from this world. We are part of the kingdom of God. And unfortunately, Hanan, David, out of the goodness of his heart, and incidentally, this also goes to maybe what we talked about a little bit yesterday about kind of a generational transfer in that way. And I don't know if this is necessarily true, but I'll just throw this out there as maybe something that could have happened. But Nahash, the father, didn't really tell his son about David. And so he became quite suspicious already. And so there wasn't, my thing is, there wasn't good training. You know, I didn't realize, hey, David's a righteous man, and so on and so forth. So when David comes, and he comes to console him, which was a very common near ancient Eastern tradition, when a king a king has died, you know, the other kingdoms would send tribute, would send gifts, you know, would send even concubines and all kinds of things to help with the suffering, or, you know, kind of appease the suffering of the king, but also to curry favor with a new king that's come into office. And, you know, we see this, you know, all around. I guess the last very significant world figure that's passed away, it was probably Lee Kuan Yew in Singapore. You know, and when he passed away, I mean, dignitaries, heads of state from all over the world came and in a different way, in a modern way, paid tribute to the man and to Singapore in that regard. And so we can kind of understand what's going on here. And so he does this, and then these guys say, you know, basically, do you think that David is coming here to console you? No, he's come here to spy out the land. So he listens to this really bad, wicked advice. And he does something. Now, honestly, I don't really quite understand, because, you know, we live in this modern world, and, you know, the whole thing about cutting beards and, you know, cutting clothes. We don't quite, but it was It was so grievous. It was something in that tradition. And this is where you need to do just a little bit of hermeneutic analysis and realize that, oh man, this was a very grave situation. And so enough that they went to war. And so in their custom, it was very grievous to them in so much that David tells these men, go stay in Jericho until your beard grows. And so this was a Near Eastern way of shaming these men that came. And so cut off half their beard, cut their clothes down to their waist. And so, you know, expose their body, shameful, all these kinds of things. And so David goes to war. And Hanan figures out that this is happening. So he asks people to come, that basically the Syrians, to come and fight. And so he sends Joab out to fight, and they split the forces because they have basically the Ammonites on one side and the Arameans on the other side, the Syrians on the other side. And so Joab, being a brilliant military leader, he goes and fights the conscripted soldiers, and he leaves his brother to fight the Ammonites. And they're defeated. So much so that they're back in the cities, they're hiding in caves, and so they go back into city, go back to Jerusalem. It gives them time to round up more troops, so they get more guys. So they actually now hire people from across the Euphrates, the river, and they go fight in war again, and they get slaughtered. So David comes to this place, and just a huge slaughter takes place. And so much so that it says at the end that the Arameans, the Syrians, they feared to help the sons of Ammon anymore. And so they no longer made a pact with them to fight the Israelites. And then they eventually became servants of the Israelites during this time. And going all the way back, all because of really, really bad advice. Really bad advice. And I wonder how many of us that we make decisions in our life with really, really maybe wrong methods, or we go to the wrong people. These days making decisions is very tenuous and it's tricky in all these things. And so maybe in the past, or maybe even now, you go to the temple and you do those joysticks. That would be in the category of bad advice, or bad methodology to do these things. Especially, obviously, as a Christian, maybe you go to a palm reader, or any of these kinds of things, fortune tellers, feng shui, and all these kinds of things. All those things in the category of bad methodology. Or sitting walking in the council of the wicked in that regard. When we as followers of Jesus, when we are looking for direction, when we are trying to find out and how to make decisions and going through our decision-making process, we go to the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. And he says it to the prophets. He says, you'll hear a voice behind you. Go to the left or go to the right, and you'll go in that way. And we believe that God is going to guide us. And this is the simple rule of guidance. If you really want to do God's will, you in your heart, you really want to serve God, and you really want to do what's right, and you really want to do His will, I'll say this, and your heart is in the right place, it'd be very hard for you not to hear God's voice in the matter. It'd be very, very difficult for you, right? You should very easily hear God's voice. If you want to really walk with Him and really obey Him and really be faithful to Him and do His will, God speaks, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow. And it's important that we really grasp and we really understand just very simple principles in that way. The first part, as it pertains to guidance, the first part is you have to die to yourself. Who's the guy that did all the orphanages in the UK? there's a Christian leader, and he wrote is actually in the EG book, but he wrote this really wonderful thing about how he listened to God's voice and how he gained direction. And the first thing he said is, "I get rid of myself. I get rid of all my thoughts. I get rid of all my ideas. I just basically totally deny myself, and I get to such a state that all I want is God's will." You know, honestly, that's like 90% of it. That we get to such a state that I just want God. I throw away all the advice I've got. I throw away my own ideas about a matter, and I just want the Lord. And incredible, incredible advice. And then when we do that, it'll be very easy for us to God to lead us. And when we say, like Jesus did in the garden, "Lord, not my will, but let your will be done," amazing things begin to happen in our lives. Okay, so let's close our eyes. So as it pertains to advice or counsel, first and foremost, make sure you're getting godly counsel. But ultimately, make sure that you're hearing from the Lord. That is the most godliest counsel that you can find. And so let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. Maybe you go to people to get advice, but they don't really give you very good advice because it's not godly. Find different avenues. And then maybe you're in a place where you're trying to make decisions. Go to Jesus. He'll lead you. He'll lead you and he'll feed you. That's what he always does. He's our good shepherd.
Praise unbroken, praise unending, be yours forevermore. Praise untainted, praise unfading, be yours forevermore. Be yours forevermore. Praise unbroken, praise unending. Be yours forevermore. Praise untainted, praise unfading. Be yours forevermore. Be yours forevermore. Unbroken praise, be yours, God, forever. All my praise, be yours, God, forever. Lord, take this life, let it become your throne. Unbroken praise, be yours. Be yours forevermore. Be yours forevermore. My surrender, my devotions. Be yours forevermore. Be yours forevermore. I'm broken. pray, be yours, God, forever. All my prayers, be yours, God, forever. Oh, take this life, let it become your throne. I'm broken, grace, be yours. Peace outrun my world. Let my life outweigh my song. Let my deeds outrun my world. Let my life outweigh my song. Unbroken grace be. My praise be yours, God, forever. So take my life, let it become your throne. I'm broken, praise be yours. I'm broken, praise be yours. I'm broken.
Let me read you a little excerpt. The gentleman's name is George Mueller. This is what he says. This is how he discerns his voice and finds direction. He says, I seek at the beginning to get my heart into such a state that it has no will of its own in regard to a given matter. 9/10 of the trouble with people generally is just here. 9/10 of the difficulties are overcome when our hearts are ready to do the Lord's will, whatever it may be. When one is truly in this state, it is usually but a little way to the knowledge of what his will is. Then he says, having done this, I do not leave the result to feeling or simple impression. If so, I make myself liable to great delusions. I seek the will of the Spirit of God through or in connection with the Word of God. The Spirit and the Word must be combined. If I look to the Spirit alone without the Word, I lay myself open to great delusions. Also, if I look to the Spirit alone with the Word, I lay myself open to great delusions. Also, if the Holy Ghost guides us at all, He will do it according to the Scriptures and never contrary to them. Next, I take into account providential circumstances. These often plainly indicate God's will in connection with His Word and Spirit. And I ask God in prayer to reveal His will to make it right. Thus, through prayer to God, the study of the Word, and reflection, I come to a deliberate judgment according to the best of my ability and knowledge. And if my mind is thus at peace and continues so after two or three more petitions, I proceed accordingly. Right? Mueller took this seriously, man. But he says 9/10. He's just getting out of ourselves, dying to ourselves. And so if you're in a place today that you need to make a decision, let's die to ourselves today. Let's pray. Let's pray for our community, and let's lift up our friends and family that are battling through cancers and going through therapies, and let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that's going through illness but also needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for physical healing, and let's pray that Jesus would reveal himself to them. Let's pray for our community that is battling through non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for God's provision and his open doors. And, you know, praise God, Min got a job. Congrats, Min. So you can actually take him off the list there. Let's thank you guys for praying. Let's continue to pray for our family. Let's go to our mission focus, and let's pray for China. Let's ask God to breathe his spirit over this country. Let's lift up SP Beijing, ask the Lord to just bless them. Pray for Hyunsu, Pastor Hyunsu and his family. Let's lift up our friends ministering there. Pray for the Chung family, Matt and Nate's parents. Pray for Edie Clark and the churches. Ask God to continue to use our friends and provide for them and give them everything they need to succeed. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our board, Let's ask the Lord to bless the board members, give them wisdom, just cover their families. Just ask the hand of the Lord to be upon them. You know, a couple of them just had new babies, you know, Brian's family and Sandro's family. Let's just pray for the wives and the kids to really, really be united during this time and just be able to recover as well. Let's lift up. Pray over our fellowship or our Koinonia ministries. Let's pray for our men's ministry, the Monday prayer meeting, Pure Desire, Men's Fraternity. Let's pray for the women's ministry as well, their Monday prayer and their discipleship class. Pray for Yahweh, young adults, and especially the soon-to-launch the Single Life Workshop. And pray for Springs as well, the Love After Marriage that will start later this year. Let's ask God to really draw each of these groups together. Let's pray for Alpha. It's going to start soon, but let's pray for God to send, I like this, the lost, the seeking, and the stagnant as guests. And for the SP community to have boldness to invite loved ones as guests, and for protection and unity over all the volunteers. So let's lift up Alpha. Let's pray that many people will come to Jesus through this season. Let's pray for house churches tonight. Cimbria, Causeway Bay, East Enders, Happy Valley, Island, New Conduit, and Robin Hood. Let's pray for anointing. Pray that as we discuss on hope and the apostolic, that people would really be drawn near to the Lord during our times tonight. Just as a last note of prayer, if we can pray for Pastor Rob, and the meeting tonight is meeting with the well, with the river, and with IP. And so we've been having amazing meetings in the evening. So just pray for a lot of favor, a lot of anointing. Pray that a lot of people would also contribute to the ministry time. Well, let's lift up. Let's pray together. Lord, how blessed is the man, God, who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. And Lord, this is exactly what happened to Hanan. And so, Lord, I pray that, and thank you for the reminder today, God, that we should always, number one, be seeking godly wisdom. And maybe even more important than that, God, that we should really just be seeking your face, Lord. And so would you help us? Would you surround us with godly people, Lord, that would speak life into our lives and not death, Lord, as it was done to Hanan here. And so just watch over us, God. And if any of you people are struggling to hear your voice or find out your will and direction in life, Lord, we pray, God, that they would, one, deny themselves. And out of that place, God, that you would speak, Lord, through your word, through your spirit. And so we thank you. We have full confidence, God, in your ability to lead us, Lord. God, we thank you. And just lead us today as well. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.